Well, as we just heard from China, the public-private partnerships are working very well in helping China to get over its challenge or war against COVID-19. In South Africa, we're seeing something very similar, and leading the way is First Rand, whose Chief Operating Officer, Mary Vilakazi, joins us now. Amazing 100 million rand that you've set aside for the SA pandemic intervention and relief effort. Mary, was there a lot of debate to get this through at a group level?
Good morning, Alec, and thank you very much for inviting us onto your show. The 100 million was raised in consultation and collaboration with our foundations, the two First Rand foundations, as well as our client-facing brands, F&B, well known for your how can I help you tagline. I think they have showed up, as well as the RMB and the West Bank teams. I think you would know that First Rand is known for the philosophy of owner management, where employees are fully empowered to make a real contribution and they are accountable. And you see that really in the high levels of commitment that we've seen in the last 2 weeks, where people have worked tirelessly to make sure that, you know, they're still delivering the best results for customers, society, shareholders, and each other. So basically, the First Rand Spire initiative was born and really initiated by staff who wanted to make sure that, in addition to what we are doing for customers, that I think we are responding to the social challenges that we know are going, the health system is going to face, and other societal impacts that are going to come down the line. So it really wasn't difficult, I think, to get the committed team of people that are working on the initiative, as well as our foundations and F&B, West Bank and RMB, to put together the 100 million that they've pledged to date.
And the objective is that you're going to support where it's needed in the medical side, in other words.
That's correct, Alec. And we started with the SPI initiative 2 weeks ago. So this was before the president announced the lockdown and the solidarity response fund that he alluded to in the speech. And we had already been organizing with the intention of leveraging our client relationships, our committed staff, and some of the networks that we have in the various industries. We are already just organizing ourselves to be able to support government and its partners in mitigating the impact of the COVID-19 crisis rapidly and at scale, I suppose, because we know that we are able to move quite fast. I mean, we leverage our payment systems, we leverage our governance system forums that are already in place, and we know we can move quite quickly. So even when the president announced that, okay, there's the solidarity response effort, what we did is we reached out to the Solidarity Fund and BUSA, and we said, look, we already had, I think, set up Spire to be able to just respond quite quickly to the challenges. And we would basically like to make sure that they see this as a pledge to the Solidarity National effort. So I think our key focus is really just being able to move quite quickly, and our team has been quite agile, and just really being able to bring scale rather quickly. So, you know, we welcome everybody else to come on board and support where that's necessary. I think we are there to support solidarity as well. But I think we can see by the traction that we've gained really in the last week in what we have enabled, to be availed to the South African public health system.
Yeah, and today's a big day because your testing kits arrive, 100,000 of them.
Correct. And these testing kits were ordered by Right to Care. So Right to Care is a nonprofit organization which is part of the VIRTS consortiums. And these academics actually had ordered 10,000 kits by themselves. So these kits, they believed that they would make a big impact in South Africa. They are currently being used in Spain and in Germany. In France and in Germany. And they funded the initial 10,000 kits for testing really out of their own reserves. I think it shows you the level of commitment, I think, that everybody is bringing to the table. So they then actually ordered 100,000 kits at risk. So that's about $1.5 million, with the intent that, okay, a funder is going to come along. And when we got to know about it and also just got to appreciate the economics, because it's a lot more economical with the tests that they have and they're quite quick as well, we were interested and we came on board, I think, to enable the arrival of the 100,000 kits. So, yeah, we're hoping that the authorities will vet them and I think authorize them as good tests that can be deployed wider. And hopefully we will be able to partner with them going forward. And we also hope other donors will come forward and also just support them as well.
Mary, 100,000 kits, that suggests there are going to be a lot of people who are going to need testing. And we know at the moment we're only sitting at about 2,000 confirmed cases. What does your modeling tell you so that you would make that kind of a commitment? 20 million rand, it's not small change.
No, it's not small change, Alec. And I guess the numbers change all the time as soon as we've got more confirmed cases. But Alec, we think that at the peak, I mean, I suppose we'll see the peak of testing sometime towards the end of April. Okay, so we think that there'll be about 100,000 kits that we probably need in South Africa. I think as people have left Gauteng, we heard last week, and they go to various provinces, you know, we think in about three weeks, we'll start to get to the peak of a lot of people requiring testing, provided, I guess, that the lockdown, that what we need to do during the lockdown period is also observed. So, yeah, so we think peak time is towards the end of April.
So that's 20 million of the 100 million. Where's the other 80 million going to be going?
Okay, so as of last night, we, with working with the Solidarity Fund, we've done two things, or we've agreed on doing two things. So one, we've agreed to providing them a working capital facility to enable Solidarity to access PPE. So that's protective. Personal equipment for the frontline staff. So we will provide the working capital facility, and a portion for the facility will also be at risk. So this is the money that will be used to get equipment for the frontline staff, and I think masks in particular. So there's an imminent order of about 5 million masks that are coming. That's about a 25 million commitment from our side. So we think that's going to make a big difference, because one of the things that we continue to hear is anxiety by medical professionals, you know, who don't have masks. And I guess that's like really a basic, because there's far more that they need. Hence, we have availed the working capital facility of 100 for Solidarity to place orders and get going. I mean, that's probably just in the normal portion of then in the normal part of how we would provide funding solutions, but we prepare to take it to be at risk for a portion of that facility. So it's testing kits, and I think it's masks. So we're prioritizing, you know, I think getting the PPE streams going, and then the next work stream as well that we'll be looking at is ventilators. So here, I guess you think the numbers around the ventilators that we have in the various ICU units around the country, and those numbers range anything from 3,000 to 5,000, depending on whether you're talking about whether the ventilators are in a good working condition or not. So we've done also quite a bit of work in this space, and we've also come to appreciate that before people go to ICU, you know, there's a lot of other assisted breathing equipment that they can access. Okay, so you know, so from when you go into the ambulance and they help you with a form of ventilator, or people that walk around with oxygen. So all that equipment is actually quite necessary to help people with the breathing before they deteriorate and get to the part where they need to be in ICU for ventilators. So we are working on sourcing, you know, some of that equipment, you know, because we believe that through some of our networks that there is some, you know, some equipment that we can get. So that we think will play a huge role. And we'll know over the course of the week where we stand with that.
How many of those respirators or ventilators are you going to be ordering? Again, I'm trying to get a sense of how big this thing could be.
So, look, Alec, when I asked the question, and when we had a very informative session on Saturday, because now bankers are getting to also learn about how the health industry works, how government procurement works, and then the treatment as well. My understanding is that in the country, there are about 50 of those portable ventilators, so of those mobile units. We've got about 50. And I think the work that we are doing to understand whether we, you know, whether if we get these orders, they will be suitable and they'll be approved by the authorities. We are looking at a number of 200 of those units. So that's what's currently in it. So, you know, so it, if the authorities are comfortable with it, we are happy that that will bring about, you know, that that already, you know, I think brings about significant scale in terms of these units that then are accessible.
So those would be units that presumably would be mobile, could go out to where people are, and when they get brought in from the ambulance, it would maybe give them that golden hour that the medical people talk about.
Correct, or a couple of days actually, before they need ventilators, which we know that we have a shortage of.
Right in the beginning of our conversation, you said the 100 million so far. Are you expecting that there will be more money that First Rand will be allocating to fight COVID-19?
Actually, that's a good question, Alec, because actually what we would like to have is, I think we have also received requests from, you know, from other companies that we work with closely, and other foundations as well, who I think have looked at what we are doing and I think are particularly interested in how we're able to scale and move quickly, who would like to contribute. So, you know, I think we are very clear that this is not in competition to any of the other initiatives. So we welcome people to support if they think, you know, what we are doing is adding value. So we've got a few of those people that have reached out to us, a few of those organizations that have reached out to us that we welcome. You know, our foundations have been doing very solid work over the last 20 years. I think that was really recently released the report on just report to society, giving a feedback of what the First Rand foundations have enabled. So I think if there's a need, you know, I think if we're coming across places where there's no one who is availing resources and we have probably run out of 100 million, I'm sure we will be able to make a request to the various partners, you know, to come on board. So, yeah, so at this point in time, there's no further commitments that we have. But I think if we have deployed the funds that we currently have in a way that our partners are very comfortable, and you know, some of the other corporates and foundations that we are reaching out to come to the party, I'm quite sure that we can scale this up.